Thank you and welcome, children. So, I wish I could see you all and interact because that's the best mode. But in the absence of that, we'll try to make the best of what yet we can. So, creation, the subject is beauty of the new creation. Is it okay in English or do you want me to mix with Hindi? Okay, fine. So we are talking about beauty of the creation, new creation. So let's understand each of these terms. There is beauty, there is new, and there is creation in it. Now creation is an ongoing process. What was yesterday is not there today. And what is there today will not be there tomorrow. So creation is an ongoing process happening all the time. If you really look at the tree outside your house, you will see that how after a few days there is a little bud which springs or a little leaf which comes. And if you see human beings within us, every moment countless cells are being destroyed and countless cells are coming into existence. So at one level, creation is an ongoing continuous process. So we could say that, well, every creation, every moment, it's a new creation. But that's not what the term implies here. It's being used in a specific sense. We'll come to that. The second aspect is beauty. Now this is something we need to really meditate upon a little bit. We use the word very, very loosely. But beauty is, if you go to Indian thought, beauty is an aspect of the divine and a very important aspect of the divine. So in Indian thought, in ancient Hindu philosophy, in Sanatana Dharma, beauty has been worshipped. So why has it been worshipped and what is beauty? It is, first of all, we know beauty by the contrast, which is ugly. So when do we say something is ugly? When it is deformed. Something which does not have the form that is there in our own heads. So forms normally we understand by symmetry. Forms, symmetry has to do with balance. Balance, even in human nature, when there is a balance of things. Supposing a person is very intelligent. He scores 99.99 or maybe 100 marks and if possible 101 out of 100. But he is emotionally a very selfish boy or girl. And he is full of all kinds of mischievous tendencies. So what will we say of such a person? Is he beautiful? Maybe his intellect, he is capable. If you have seen a movie called A Beautiful Mind, it's a sort of a misnomer. But here there is a man who is very intelligent. But though he is intelligent, his heart is of a very different kind. So in human nature also, we use the word beautiful when we have all the different qualities which come beautifully, they blend together, harmoniously. One example that comes to my mind, because Indian thought has given so much time and space to this aspect of a wholesome, balanced, harmonious growth of a human being, that it has created certain ideals which have impress themselves upon the human mind. And one such ideal, since we are in the year 2024 with the return of Rama, is none else but Lord Rama himself. So what do you find about Lord Rama? How does it contrast with, say, Ravan? So the beauty of Rama is, I'm using the word beauty, that he has in himself all the qualities that you expect, but in a very beautiful, harmonious way. He is a lover. He is wisdom incarnate. He is calm, dhir, veer, gambhir. He doesn't lose his temper. And he is full of shaurya, courage and strength. And he has many other things besides. He is a friend to the friend. And when he confronts a foe, he is fearless, full of courage. So when we look at Rama, we understand what a beautiful human nature could be. That's what makes Rama beautiful. Shri Krishna is also beautiful. He is regarded as Madhuram, Madhuram, but in another dimension altogether. Because in Sri Krishna we see not just human qualities, in Rama we see human qualities taken to their acme. This term is called human perfection. But Sri Krishna breaks the mold of human perfection and he creates the first prototype of a divine perfection. He acts in a very large freedom. He acts with the state of ananda even in war time. So he brings another dimension altogether to the ideal of humanhood. I am not using the word manhood because now we use, then we'll have to talk about womanhood, but let's say humanhood. So we have this so many examples, not only of masculine figures, but also feminine figure, Durga. How is Durga described? Durga is described as a beautiful combination of wisdom, strength and beauty. That's why even the asuras are attracted. She is beautiful beyond measure. She is strong beyond measure. She is conqueror and she is wise beyond measure. So first we must understand beauty is about balance. And with balance comes harmony. So beauty is intimately connected with harmony. It is also connected with joy. What can give us joy? Beauty always gives joy. It brings joy. And beauty is also connected with love. So we have these beautifully in Indian thought, we have conceived of certain characters, humans, apparently humans, but beings who, as we know, they came from another dimension and for a while they touched the human body and made it appear what human life on earth could be. For example, we hear about Ramarajya. So what is special about Ramarajya? It is said, Daihik Daivik Bhautik Tapa Ram Raj Kahu Nahi Vyapa. So there are three kinds of sufferings which afflict mankind. What are these kind of? Physical suffering we know. Daihik, Daivik, sufferings of a psychological kind. Daihik, Daivik, Bhautik is the physical and the non-material Bhutadi that come from the elemental energies. And then things which come from fate, all kinds of suffering, they didn't exist. Why they didn't exist? Because the king carried certain qualities, embodied certain qualities, and because of him, human nature was free from all its deficiencies, difficulties, and people were automatically relieved from suffering. So when we look at these conceptions, we automatically... Why do we love these epics? These epics have endured over millenniums. Isn't it amazing? I often say, people compare different epics. The fact that Ramayana or Mahabharat, ye hajaron varshon se hamare humko ye hamesha prerit karte rahe. They continue to inspire us even now. I think so many serials of Ramayana have come and gone. I have myself watched all of them and I know many, many people, and even the latest serial people want to watch. I am one of them who continues to watch. Why? The story is known. Everything is known. And yet you continue to watch it because there is something which endures. So what endures? What is it in Ramayana and Mahabharata that makes you love it? Because it reveals to us a state, at least some semblance of a state which we all must reach, we all aspire to. So what is it that we aspire to, which we all must reach? We aspire for, first of all, an ideal of what human beings could be, and Sri Aurobindo would say would be, in times to come. So what is it that human beings could be? Where do we find it? One, in the epics. But epics, everybody doesn't have the fortune or the interest in epics. What is, if I were to ask this question, what would be your own ideal of a human being? An ideal human being. If I was there interacting with all of you, I could give it as a question, as a kind of workshop, that write your own ideal of what a human being could be. Now, when you look at that ideal, and I can just narrate some of them, a human being should be wise. He should have the right knowledge about things, right understanding. He should know what love is. He should be able to love. Whom should be able to love? Not just himself. He should be able to love those around. He should be able to love creation. he should have that love for everything in the right, in love plant, animals, earth, love God. So he should embody love. He should embody wisdom and he should embody strength. Three things which are indispensable. And he should be an embodiment of beauty when it comes to both his inner thoughts, feelings, as well as outer actions. Now this is an ideal all of us carry. And because we carry this ideal, on one side we strive for this ideal through various means. From the most mundane ways, which is about personality development. Dekha hoga na, bahut sari classes personality development. Kyon? Kyunki humko kahin lagta hai ki hum abhi aadhe adhure hain. और वो केवल आप लोगों की एज में नहीं लगता है, हर एक एज में काश हमारे अंदर ये भी डेवलप होता। अब ये जब हमको लगता है तो उसमें बस एक चीज का हमको ध्यान रखना है, और वो क्या कि एक वायरस है जो हम सब के अंदर घुस गया है। और वो वायरस क्या है? उस वो वायरस हमारे समाज से आया है, और वो वायरस ये है कि हमारे हमको अपना विकास करने की जगह, इंस्टेड ऑफ आवर ओन डेवलपमेंट, वी शुड फोकस ऑन हाउ मच मनी वी हैव, how big a house we have, how big a car we have. This ideal was never in India. We should have these things, but that is not an ideal. Ideal is what we can become. Sri Aurobindo ek jagah likhte hain bade sundar dhang se, the greatness of a man does not lie in what he does, but in what he inwardly is and becomes. Hum kaise manushya hain? एजुकेशन का तो पर्पस ही यही होता है, और मैं बहुत खुश हूँ, आई एम वेरी हैप्पी कि आपके स्कूल में ये प्रयास हो रहा है। बहुत सुंदर है आपका स्कूल, एक देखा जाए तो आपको डेवलप करने पर फोकस कर रहा है, बाकी चीज़ें तो हैं लेकिन जो मोस्ट इम्पॉर्टेंट एस्पेक्ट है। तो ये एक आइडियल है जो हम सबके अंदर है, लेकिन वो वायरस आते हैं ना जैसे कंप्यूटर में, तो वायरस कौन सा आ जाता है, कितने मार्क्स आएंगे, कौन सा तुम जॉब करोगे, कितने तुमको पैसे मिलेंगे, कितनी बड़ी कार होगी, कितना बड़ा घर होगा, आपस में कंपैरिजन। तो ये आइडियल हम खो देते हैं, और ये आइडियल जो खो देता है वही रावण है। रावण कौन है? रावण वो है जिसने अपने अंदर के राम को पूरी तरह विस्मृत कर दिया था। एक समय वो भी शिव भक्त था, लेकिन धीरे धीरे, एक समय वो भी वेदों का ज्ञाता था, पर धीरे धीरे उस आइडियल को भूल गया, और उसके अंदर वही वायरस आया, पता नहीं कहाँ से आया। आजकल तो ये हवा पश्चिम से बहती है, उस समय कहाँ से आया मुझे नहीं मालूम, लेकिन उसके अंदर भी यही आइडियल बैठ गया कि अगर मेरी लंका सोने की होगी, अगर सबके पास अच्छा पे पैकेज होगा और सबके पास बहुत सारी कारें होंगी, उसके पास पुष्पक विमान था, तो हम लोग खुश रहेंगे, और हम सब, अगर मेरे पास सामर्थ्य होगा कैसे भी मैं उसको उपयोग में लाऊं, छीन कर शक्ति रहेगी, कैसे भी मैं उसको अर्जित करूं। तो ये जो आइडियल जहां हम अपने अंदर के रामत्व को, कृष्णत्व को, या एक शब्द में कहें दिव्यत्व को छुपा देते हैं, ढक देते हैं, तो हम रावण बन जाते हैं। रावण कोई और नहीं है, हम सब के अंदर राम है, हम सब के अंदर दिव्यता है, वी ऑल कैरी द डिवाइन प्रेजेंस विद इन, बट इट इज कवर्ड बाई रावणत्व, बाई इग्नोरेंस, अज्ञान, अहंकार, इसके कारण ये कवर्ड है। और क्योंकि ये कवर्ड है, ये बीज जो अंदर में है, द सीड ऑफ डिविनिटी, इट इज अनेबल टू ब्लॉसम, वो ब्लॉसम नहीं कर पाता। किसी किसी में यहां कहां, इक्के दुक्के व्यक्तियों में वो एक प्रॉमिस के रूप में दिखता है, लेकिन ज्यादातर हम सबके अंदर ये सीड दबा रह जाता है। और इस कारण द वर्ल्ड इज व्हाट इट इज, संसार जैसा है वैसा है। क्यों हम उसको कोसते रहते हैं, अरे देखो दुनिया में ये है वो है, क्यों? क्योंकि हमारा समाज, संसार, शिक्षा संस्थान, आप लोग जैसे कुछ स्कूल हैं जो एक्सेप्शन है, वरना हमारे शिक्षा संस्थान, हमारे माता पिता भी हमारे इस सीड को, भगवान का जो सीड है हमारे अंदर, दिव्यता का सीड है, जो राम है हमारे अंदर, जो कृष्ण है हमारे अंदर, जो श्री अरविंद है हमारे अंदर, उसको वो और अधिक छुपाने का, ढकने का काम करते हैं। तो अब अगर हम इस आइडियल को अंदर में रखें, लेकिन समाज की वास्तविकता को देखें, तो क्या दिखाई देता है? ये तो बिल्कुल विपरीत है। हर व्यक्ति चाहता है कि जीवन सुंदर हो, लेकिन उसके अंदर एक वायरस डाल दिया गया है. सुंदर जीवन मतलब बड़ा घर, सुंदर जीवन मतलब बड़ी कार, सुंदर जीवन मतलब खूब सारा पे पैकेट. तो अब क्या हुआ है, धीरे धीरे हमारा समाज उस आइडियल से दूर हो गया जो डिवाइन हमारे अंदर है, लेकिन हम उसको भूल गए, विस्मृत हो गए. तो स्वाभाविक है कि समाज में रावणत्व बढ़ता जाता है और सारी प्रॉब्लम बढ़ती जाती है. अब इसके दो समाधान संसार में आए कि हमको एक परफेक्ट वर्ल्ड के. एक समाधान था कि बाहर से हम खूब कंफर्ट बढ़ाएंगे, खूब पैसे होंगे, तो एक समय आएगा जब व्यक्ति के पास सब कुछ होगा, इसलिए वो अपने आप अच्छा व्यवहार करेगा. लेकिन वास्तव में हम देखते हैं अगर जीवन को, तो हम देखते हैं ऐसा नहीं है. जितने अधिक हमारे पास धन आता जाता है, उतना हमारा हृदय संकीर्ण होता जाता है. पॉकेट जितनी भरी होती है, हृदय उतना खाली होता जाता है. तो ये एक विरोधाभास है. दूसरा, एजुकेशन, मनी, इन सबके बावजूद हम अच्छा समाज, अच्छा संसार, अच्छा व्यक्ति नहीं बना पाते. तो ओल्ड क्रिएशन क्या है? ओल्ड क्रिएशन वह है जिसमें समाज और संसार रावणत्व के आधार पर चलता रहता है. बीच बीच में ऐसे अवसर आते हैं समाज के अंदर, जब रिवोल्यूशंस होते हैं, व्हेन देयर आर रिवोल्यूशंस, और रिवोल्यूशंस होते हैं उसमें रावणत्व कुछ हद तक समाप्त कर दिया जाता है. ये श्रीमद् भगवद गीता कहती है, परित्राणाय साधुनाम विनाशाय च दुष्कृताम. भगवान स्वयं आते हैं और उस हमारे अंदर के असुर को, राक्षस को वो विनाश करते हैं. एक पथ दिखाते हैं हमको आगे बढ़ने के लिए सुंदर ढंग से. कुछ हद तक मनुष्य आगे बढ़ता है, लेकिन फिर वो कोलैप्स कर जाता है. इस बैकग्राउंड से अब हम देखें आज के समय को. तो इवोल्यूशन के, क्रिएशन के दो दो टाइम में दो प्रकार के तरह से क्रिएशन आगे बढ़ता है. एक, जब इसको हम व्यक्तिगत जीवन से भी जोड़ सकते हैं, बट आई विल कम टू दैट. देर इज वन फेज ऑफ इवोल्यूशन व्हेन एवरीथिंग इज वेरी स्लो, नथिंग मच इज हैपनिंग, एवरीबडी इज एक्सेप्टेड द वे ऑफ लाइफ दे आर इन. एंड देन देर इज अ फेज व्हेन सडनली there is a rapid development, rapid growth. It's a revolution almost. Many of you would have experienced or would be experiencing when you go from childhood to adolescence. Suddenly, things seem to change drastically. And the same thing happens during middle age when people are transiting from adulthood towards the age of wisdom. I am not going to use old age because old age is a misnomer. Okay? So at the society level also the same thing happens. For a long period of time, human beings accept that this is how life is, this is how life is going to be, and there is nothing more dangerous than that. But that is how hawa aisi chalti hai ki sab log kehte hain kya kar sakte hain hum, jeevan jaisa hai waisa hi chalega, isi ko thoda modify kar lo. Ye period lagbhag 18th century ke madhya tak tha. For a long time, the society remained the way it was. सारी भी उसमें जो, ये नहीं कि अंदर में लोगों के चाहते नहीं थे कि सुंदर बने समाज, व्यक्ति सुंदर हो, लेकिन इस तरह का गठन था. और लगभग सब जगह भारतवर्ष के अंदर ये प्रकाश वो भी धूमिल हो गया था, क्योंकि इतना अधिक यहाँ पर इन्वेजन्स हुए थे, जो भी कारण थे. अब हम देखते हैं मिडिल ऑफ 18th सेंचुरी से मतलब लगभग 1750 से 1850 का जो समय है, इसको कहा गया है एज ऑफ रिवॉल्यूशंस, कायदे से टिल 1950. तो आप देखोगे कि समाज बहुत तीव्र गति से, उसके अंदर चेंज की पुकार उठती है. रिवॉल्यूशन कब आता है? जब चेंज की पुकार उठती है. तो 1750 से 1950 तक बहुत तरह के रिवॉल्यूशंस, साइंटिफिक रिवॉल्यूशन, इंडस्ट्रियल रिवॉल्यूशन, रिवॉल्यूशन इन थॉट टू ए नेक्स्ट, इंटेलेक्चुअल रिवॉल्यूशन, पॉलिटिकल रिवॉल्यूशन, भारतवर्ष ने भी स्वतंत्रता संग्राम. और ये रिवॉल्यूशन क्या करता है? ये बिल्कुल हमको एकदम एक प्रकार से जीवन को बदलने का काम करता है. सो 1950 तक ये जो रिवॉल्यूशन, साइंटिफिक, इंडस्ट्रियल, इंटेलेक्चुअल, पॉलिटिकल, ये सब आए. अगर आप देखोगे 1950 का जीवन और 1750 का जीवन, ऐसा लगता है कि छलांग लगा ली है. हनुमान जी की तरह किसी ने पूरे जो 1700 ऑलमोस्ट लगभग 600-700 साल से समाज एक फिक्स्ड व्यवस्था में जी रहा था, वहां पर हम देखते हैं कि अचानक एक लीप होती है, पूरे वर्ल्ड में ये लीप आती है, उसके डिटेल में हम लोग नहीं जाएंगे। अब उस लीप के कारण क्या होता है, 1950 में क्या होता है, दो वर्ल्ड वार हो चुके हैं और एक प्रकार से इसके बाद एक नया रिवॉल्यूशन शुरू होता है 1950 के बाद। तो कौन कौन से रिवॉल्यूशन हो गए चेंज के, हो गए इंडस्ट्रियल, साइंटिफिक, पॉलिटिकल एंड टू एन एक्सटेंट इंटेलेक्चुअल। आप देखोगे कि 20th सेंचुरी के प्रारंभ में बहुत सारे नई इंटेलेक्चुअल विचारधाराएं आई, उसके मैं विस्तार में नहीं जाना चाहता हूं। बट 1950 से एक नई पुकार शुरू हुई सबके अंदर, और वो जो पुकार शुरू हुई, जैसा मैंने बताया कि चेंज के पहले द नीड फॉर चेंज कम्स, और वो जो पुकार थी उसको अगर हम एक वर्ड में कहें तो वो है स्पिरिचुअल रिवॉल्यूशन। स्पिरिचुअल रिवॉल्यूशन क्या है, मेटीरियल रिवॉल्यूशन, साइंटिफिक रिवॉल्यूशन, इंडस्ट्रियल रिवॉल्यूशन, पॉलिटिकल रिवॉल्यूशन, यहां तक कि इंटेलेक्चुअल रिवॉल्यूशन, बाहर के जीवन को बदलना चाहते हैं। इस आइडिया से जीवन चलना चाहिए, साइंस की एक उपलब्धि हो गई तो जीवन बदला, इत्यादि इत्यादि। बट स्पिरिचुअल रिवॉल्यूशन कहता है कि वी मस्ट चेंज, देन ओनली एनी चेंज कैन लास्ट एंड एंड्योर। और यही कारण है अक्सर लोग कहते हैं रामराज इतना अच्छा था तो डीजनरेट क्यों कर गया, वैदिक काल इतना अच्छा था तो डीजनरेट क्यों कर गया। यहां पर इसका उत्तर है, वहां कुछ ऐसे मनुष्य थे जो अद्भुत थे, राम राम है, पर उस युग में भी एक दो अगर कैरेक्टर्स ले लो, हनुमान हैं, लक्ष्मण भैया हैं, भरत हैं, ये कुछ लोगों को अगर छोड़ दो तुम तो आम व्यक्ति वही है। सो स्पिरिचुअल रिवॉल्यूशन के लिए ये धरती तैयार हो रही थी। ऑल दैट हैज पास्ड वाज ए प्रिपरेशन फॉर ए स्पिरिचुअल रिवॉल्यूशन। और वह स्पिरिचुअल रिवॉल्यूशन श्री अरविंद बताते हैं, माता जी बताती हैं, 1956 से हम एक नए युग में जी रहे हैं, और वो युग स्पिरिचुअल रिवॉल्यूशन का युग है। आप पूछ सकते हो कि प्रमाण कहाँ है, मेरा उत्तर बहुत सिंपल होगा, तुम सब लोग जो बैठे हो इसका प्रमाण हो। हम लोग भी स्कूल में पढ़े हैं, तुम्हारी उम्र से गुजरे हैं, मैंने कॉन्वेंट में पढ़ाई की अनफॉर्चुनेटली, और मॉरल साइंस की टीचिंग होती थी, हमारे स्कूल में कोई ऐसी वर्कशॉप नहीं होती थी, कोई बुला के इस तरह का एक्सपोजर नहीं होता था कि मेडिटेशन, और अगर होती भी तो मुझे लगता है शायद ही एक आध कोई बच्चा इंटरेस्टेड होता, जो मेरा अपना अनुमान है। लेकिन अभी मैं ये चीज देख रहा हूं कि बच्चे, आप लोगों की जो उम्र है, क्या उम्र है, पांचवीं छठी क्लास में क्या क्या उम्र होगी, 10 से लेके 18 ऐसे एज ग्रुप होगा, और इस एज ग्रुप में आप सब यहां बैठे हो, आपने इस इसके लिए स्वीकृति दी है, एंड यू आर हियर, यू आर लिसनिंग, दिस इज द साइन, ये स्पिरिचुअल रिवॉल्यूशन का साइन। ऐसा नहीं होता कि ढोल पीट करके लोग कह रहे हैं देखो 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 स्पिरिचुअल रिवॉल्यूशन शुरू हो गया, वो पॉलिटिक्स के लिए ठीक है एक रिलीजन के लिए भी ठीक है। आई होप यू ऑल अंडरस्टैंड द डिफरेंस बिटवीन रिलीजन एंड स्पिरिचुअलिटी। रिलीजन इज कनेक्टिंग विद गॉड बट आउटवर्ड मीन्स से, इन वेरी सिंपल टर्म्स, जब हम बाहर से भगवान को कनेक्ट करते हैं बाहरी माध्यमों से, धूप बत्ती हम दिखाते हैं, दिया जलाते हैं, बाहर से एक विग्रह के पास जाते हैं, ये सब अच्छी बात है, बुरी बात नहीं है, लेकिन वो बाहर से हम कनेक्ट करते हैं, लेकिन जब हम उन्हीं भगवान से अंदर कनेक्ट करते हैं तो वो स्पिरिचुअल है। तो जब हम अंदर के मंदिर में अभिप्सा का दिया जलाते हैं, जब हम श्रद्धा के सुमन चढ़ाते हैं, जब हम उनकी अंदर में अपने सुंदर गुणों को एक फूल की मतलब सुंदर गुण पहले तो डेवलप करेंगे ना, वो फूल डेवलप करके उसकी माला बना के अंदर जो भगवान है उनके चरणों में डालते हैं या उनके गले में माल्य पुष्प अर्पण करते हैं, तब हम ये कह सकते हैं कि आध्यात्मिक जीवन प्रारंभ होता है। ये दोनों एक दूसरे की विरोधी नहीं है, लेकिन एक फर्स्ट स्टेप है, दूसरा सेकेंड स्टेप है, ये जानना जरूरी है, ये कंफ्यूजन नहीं होना चाहिए। रिलीजन एक तैयारी है स्पिरिचुअलिटी के लिए. रिलीजन में फिर भी भेद आ जाता है इसीलिए, क्योंकि वो बाहर की चीजों पर डिपेंड करता है. तो बाहर जब हम देखते हैं तो सबके तरीके अलग अलग हैं, लेकिन स्पिरिचुअलिटी वो अंदर से जोड़ती है हमको, और इसलिए वो अद्भुत है. वो डिविजन्स को हटा के यूनिटी की ओर ले जाती है. अब इसी एक चीज को देख लो. What is one of the change that everybody wants today? It's unity, isn't it? Everybody wants unity. But see how difficult it is to have unity even within a house. है ना? कितनी कठिन है. क्यों ये कठिन है? Because when we try unity by outward means, it fails. Because outward means we'll fight over your means is better or my means is better. That's how human nature is constituted. But when we go within and we discover that basis of unity, what is that basis of unity? The God within us. And because we discover him, we begin to discover more often the God who is outside. You know why there is so much ugliness in the world? One reason is that we have not discovered the beauty within us. If we discover the beauty within us, we will see this beauty more often, much more often outside. And even if we don't see the beauty outside, we will be able to bring it out, because we know that beauty is covered inside. Why do you think Ram gave so many chances to Ravan? What an amazing, if I may use the word, divinely human character. He keeps giving chances. He sends one after another. He could easily decimate. Because his purpose was not to kill Ravan. His purpose was to bring out the Rama hidden inside Ravan. Because Ram knows that the same divine presence which Rama has realized is hidden inside Ravan. That's why he keeps giving him chances. One chance after another. But when he finally refuses, then eventually he has to fall. When he falls, Ravan once again becomes a bhakta of Ram. Ram ke bhakt ban jata hai Ravan. To ye puris sansar mein ye kahani chal rahi hai. Lekin ye kahani ki ab parisamapti ka samay a gaya hai. Abhi tak Ravan swikar nahi karta tha, to usko marna padta tha. Lekin ab kahin na kahin Ravan ne hum ye kahe ki swikar kar liya hai ki theek hai, kab tak main ladunga? अंत में तो जीतेंगे राम ही, तो फिर क्यों ना मैं अपने आप को राम के हाथों में सौंप दूं. ये घटना ऐसी है जो संसार में घटित हो रही है. ये अभी शायद आप इस चीज को नहीं समझ पाओगे, इसलिए कई बार टू अप्रिशिएट न्यू क्रिएशन इज वेरी डिफिकल्ट, स्पेशली एट योर एज. बट अगर आप अपने पेरेंट्स से पूछोगे कि क्या आपका समय और हमारा समय इसमें अंतर है, तो वो आपको स्पष्ट रूप से बताएंगे कि बहुत अंतर है. मैं एक एग्जाम्पल देता हूं. आई थिंक आपके जो माननीय अंजलि जी हैं, मेरी उम्र लगभग सेम होगी, एंड आई कैन टेल यू कि वी हैव सीन द वर्ल्ड चेंज. वही मनुष्य थे, लेकिन नारी का स्थान चौखट के पीछे होता था, सब जगह होता था, केवल भारतवर्ष में नहीं. भारतवर्ष में लेकिन एक अंतर हुआ. भारतवर्ष में धीरे धीरे आज के समय में नारी हर क्षेत्र में चली गई है. मैं तो एयरफोर्स का मेरा बैकग्राउंड है, और एयरफोर्स में फाइटर पायलट जहाज उड़ा रही है. नारी शक्ति बाहर आ गई है. तो अनेकों चेंजेस आए हैं, जैसा मैंने कहा आप लोग बैठे हुए, तो एक नई सृष्टि फॉर्म. ये कैसे संभव हुआ? ये ऐसे संभव हुआ कि वे पुरुष जिन्होंने नारी को दमन करते थे, नहीं नहीं तुम बाहर नहीं निकलोगे, कई कारणों से जो भी कारण थे, अचानक उनके अंदर एक कोई चीज बदली. कई कारण थे उसके, उसमें नहीं जाना चाहता हूं. और उन्होंने इस चीज को स्वीकार किया, और अब वो इस चीज को अप्रिशिएट करते. तो जो मैंने बताया ना, रावण बदल रहा है रामत्व की ओर, यह डिफरेंस है इस क्रिएशन में. इसीलिए ये एक ऐसी सृष्टि स्टार्ट हो गई है 1956 के बाद, जिसमें सबके लिए होप है. अक्सर लोग पूछते हैं, मैं तो बहुत डाई हार्ड ऑप्टिमिस्ट हूं, तो मुझसे पूछते हैं कि आपके ऑप्टिमिस्ट क्यों, तो मेरा तो बड़ा सिंपल जवाब है कि यदि ये संसार भगवान ने बनाया है तो भगवान इसके कण कण में, और यदि भगवान कण कण में है तो आशा नहीं तो व्यक्ति और क्या करेगा। एक बड़ी सुंदर सी एक पंक्ति है सावित्री में, हाउ शेल द एंड बी वेन वेन गॉड इज गाइड। हम थक सकते हैं लेकिन भगवान नहीं थक सकते। तो अगर हम एक शब्द में बोले न्यू क्रिएशन क्या है, तो न्यू क्रिएशन वह है जहां हम सबके अंदर छिपा हुआ दिव्य तत्व, दिव्य भगवान, तत्व नहीं, तत्व तो बड़ी इंपर्सनल सी चीज लगती है, हमारे अंदर जो भगवान छिपे हुए थे पीछे से हम लोगों को गाइड कर रहे थे, कभी कभी अवतार के रूप में सामने आ जाते थे। अब वह भगवान पूरी तरह एक एक व्यक्ति के अंदर बाहर आके उसके मन, हृदय, प्राण, शरीर को उस पर राज्य करेंगे, या हम कहें जगन माता राज राजेश्वरी, वे हम सबके ऊपर शासन करेंगी, और धीरे धीरे वो एक एक मनुष्य को स्वयं, जो हम हमारे अंदर तो भगवान छिपा है, ये तो हमारे शास्त्र कहते हैं सोहम अस्मि, लेकिन दिखता नहीं है, बहुत कठिनाई से पाना होता है, लेकिन जब ये भगवान जो छिपे हैं ये बाहर हमारे विचारों में, हमारी भावनाओं में, हमारे संकल्प में, हमारे कर्म में प्रकट होने लगेंगे, तो वो न्यू क्रिएशन है। लेकिन ये न्यू क्रिएशन सीधा सबके साथ ऐसा नहीं होगा कि लोग रात को सो गए, सुबह उठ के उन्होंने कहा आह संसार बदल गया। ऐसा होगा कि कुछ लोग धीरे धीरे बदलेंगे, जैसे आप लोग स्वयं देखते होंगे आपके स्कूल में आपको ये शिक्षा मिल रही है, बहुत से ऐसे स्कूल है अनफॉर्चुनेट है जहां ये शिक्षा नहीं मिल रही है, तो ऐसे ही आप लोग और जगहों पे जाओगे, और ऐसे करके धीरे 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 संसार में दिव्यता का प्रकाश फैलेगा, और मनुष्य के अंदर अपने आप उसकी वृत्तियों के अंदर परिवर्तन आएगा। जैसे एक पशु के अंदर मनुष्य प्रकट हुआ, वैसे ही मनुष्य के अंदर से दिव्य मनुष्य, दिव्य मानव, नाम कोई भी दे दो, सुपरमेंटल वर्ड लोग यूज करते हैं, आई प्रेफर द डिवाइन सुपरमैन या द डिवाइन ह्यूमैनिटी, सुपर ह्यूमैनिटी, वह अब पूरी तरह प्रकट होगा, तो वह नई सृष्टि होगी। तो इसका क्या मतलब हुआ? इसका मतलब पहला ये हुआ कि मनुष्य तो बहुत सीमित है, हम तो ये भी नहीं जानते कि कल क्या होने वाला है, हम किसी चीज के बारे में रीजन से ट्राई करते हैं लेकिन हमको पता नहीं चलता कि क्या करना चाहिए क्या नहीं करना चाहिए। लेकिन जब हमारे अंदर भगवान स्वयं हमारे मन को हाथ में लेके हमको ज्ञान देंगे, तो हमारे अंदर ये जो अनसर्टेनिटी है जीवन के बारे में, अनिश्चितता है, वो समाप्त हो जाएगी। एक नया ज्ञान और ज्ञान का मेथड हमारे अंदर, इसको इंट्यूशन कहते हैं, अपने आप जागेगी। लोग अक्सर कहते हैं इंट्यूशन कैसे जगाएं, इसके लिए बड़े क्लासेस होते हैं, ये होते, कुछ नहीं करना है, शांत बैठो, भगवान को पुकारो, अपने आप इंट्यूशन जागेगी, वो तो उनकी दासी है, उन्हीं की शक्ति है। तो एक इसका एक उदाहरण ले लूं मैं कहानी के द्वारा। एक व्यक्ति ने एक जंगल में राजा चला गया और वो रास्ता भूल गया, उसके शिकार करता करता आगे निकल गया और वो भटक गया, मतलब वो उसकी सेना बिना पीछे रह गई, तो वहाँ वो मुश्किल में पड़ गया और हिंसक पशु भी आ गए, और वहाँ पर एक जंगल के वनवासी ने उनकी रक्षा की प्राणों की। तो राजा ने कहा कि तुम ऐसा करना, आज तो मैं किसी अवस्था में नहीं हूं कि मैं तुमको कुछ उपहार दे सकूं, कल तुम मेरी सभा में आना, वहां मैं तुमको अच्छी तरह से उपहार दूंगा। तो कहता है ठीक है। जब वो पहुंचा अगले दिन तो राजा ने कहा क्या चाहिए, तुम कुछ भी मांग लो, मेरे प्राण को तुमने बचाया है, अब तुम कुछ भी मांग लो। तो क्या मांग सकता था वो कुछ भी मांग सकता था, मुझे एक पोस्ट दे दीजिए, मुझे अपने राजकोष से खूब सारा धन दे दीजिए, मेरे परिवार की शिक्षा अपने ऊपर ले दीजिए, और अगर मॉडर्न जमाना होता मुझे फ्री लैपटॉप दे दीजिए, है ना, मुझे फ्री एजुकेशन दे दीजिए। उसने कुछ नहीं मांगा, उसने कहा राजन एक छोटी सी मांग है मेरी, तो इन सब का मैं क्या करूंगा, आप, मैं तो रह ही रहा था जैसे रह रहा था, आप मेरे मित्र बन जाइए। तो लोगों ने कहा कैसा मूर्ख है ये, राजन ने कहा ठीक है मैं तो वचन से बंधा हूं, तो राजा उसका मित्र हो गया। अब क्या हुआ मित्र के साथ, तो ये देखिए सुग्रीव की कहानी है, सुग्रीव और राम जी की मित्रता का दूरगामी परिणाम। तो अब क्या हुआ, राजा को जाना है मित्र के साथ, तो आप घर में ये थोड़ी कहते हो मित्र को कि तुम ही हमेशा हमारे घर आओगे। तो राजा उनके घर में जाने कहा, मेरा मित्र है मैं जाऊंगा मित्र से मिलने। अब राजा जब मित्र से मिलने जाएगा तो क्या करेगा, अब अच्छी सड़क होनी चाहिए। तो मंत्रियों ने कहा राजा जा रहे हैं जल्दी जल्दी सड़क अच्छी से बना दो। अब मित्र के घर में खाना खाएंगे तो ये मित्र के घर में उन्होंने देखा यहां तो कुछ भी नहीं है, तो उन्होंने फट से उसको एक सुंदर महल बना दिया। ये है सुदामा की कहानी का गूढ़ अर्थ, मित्रता कितने समझ के करनी चाहिए। ये नहीं कि राजा से करो, यहां कहानी का डीपर सेंस। फिर उन्होंने कहा कि अब इसके घर में खाना बनाएगा इसको, तो ऐसे ही हर किसी के साथ राजा कैसे बैठेगा, तो उसको एक अच्छी सी नौकरी भी मिल गई और राजा खाना खाएगा। तो राजा को कौन जानता है राजा का टेस्ट, राजा की बेटी। तो राजा ने कहा ऐसा करता हूं सब तो मिल गया, मेरी बेटी का विवाह मैं इसके साथ कर देता हूं। तो राजा से जो मित्रता की उसने, तो उसको सब कुछ मिल गया। तो अब तक हम जो भगवान से संबंध जोड़ते थे, मुझे यह दे दो या वह दे दो, लेकिन अभी कुछ कुछ समझदार लोग संसार में आ गए हैं, वो क्या कहते हैं, भगवान आपसे बस मित्रता दे दो। ये नए युग की पहचान है। क्या पहचान है, भगवान के साथ पुराना संबंध कैसा था, डरने का, अरे भगवान आपको दंड दे देगा। अभी भी सुनते हो ना कभी कभी, पाप का दंड देगा, पुण्य होगा तो स्वर्ग देगा। लगता नहीं है कितनी पुरानी कैसी बात कर रहे हैं लोग। मैं तो सुनता हूं तो मुझे अजीब लगता है, कब भगवान दंड देगा तो सुधारेगा कौन हमको। इवन एज योर एज आई यूज टू वंडर If God will punish, who is going to redeem me? So, then I realized God does not punish. Sri Aurobindo ये बताते हैं, God does not punish, He loves. And by love, He transforms us. तो transformation word, शायद आप लोगों ने सुना हो, transformation क्या word है? वह सत्य, वह दिव्य जो हमारे अंदर है, उसी के जैसा बन जाना। तो नाउ व्हाट इज द डिवाइन नेचर, डिवाइन की तो लिमिटेड सोच, लिमिटेड अंडरस्टैंडिंग, लिमिटेड नॉलेज नहीं है, इन्फिनिट है। तो व्हेन आवर माइंड ऑल्सो बिकम्स ओपन टू इन्फिनिट नॉलेज, लिमिटलेस नॉलेज, सिमिलरली द डिवाइन डज नॉट लव ओनली लिमिटेड पीपल, कि मैं तो अपने जात वालों को प्यार करूंगा, मैं तो अपने जो मेरे पूजा करते हैं उनको प्यार करूंगा, जो मुझे मानते हैं उनको प्यार करूंगा। तो हम कहेंगे ऐसा भगवान कैसा है, भगवान भी अगर दीवारें बना देगा तो भगवान कैसा रहा। तो गॉड हैज इन्फिनिट लव। आपने सुनी होगी रामायण की तो बात हो रही है, मेरी फेवरेट लाइन है, गणिका अजामिल व्याध गीद गजाद खल तारे कना। पूछेगा अपनी मैडम से, वो बताएंगी आपको इसका मतलब। हर किसी को प्यार करते हैं, प्यार की कोई कमी नहीं उनके अंदर। तो जब मनुष्य के अंदर भी भगवान का प्रेम, तो क्या होगा, वो सबको प्रेम करेगा, केवल मनुष्यों को नहीं, गिद्ध को, धरती को, पशु को, पक्षी को। और जब वो प्रेम करेगा तो एकत्व, माधुर्य, ये तो अपने आप आएगा, यूनिटी ऑटोमेटिकली आएगी। आपको कोई बाहर से कुछ नहीं करना है यूनिटी के लिए, कोई कॉमनवेल्थ का डिस्कशन नहीं करना है यूनाइटेड नेशंस में कि लेट्स हैव यूनिटी। व्हेन वी चेंज इनटू गॉड लव, यूनिटी विल कम नेचुरली, क्योंकि दैट इज द नेचर ऑफ गॉड्स लव। ओके, सिमिलरली गॉड की पावर भी लिमिटेड नहीं है, हम लोगों की लिमिटेड है। हर चीज के लिए हमारे यहां स्ट्रगल करना पड़ता है। एक तो हम नॉलेज लिमिटेड है तो गलत चीजों की को चाहते हैं, ऊपर से जब चाहते हैं तो हमारे लिए कितना कठिन होता है, हर चीज में कंपटीशन है। लेकिन व्हेन वी आर फुल ऑफ गॉड पावर, देन व्हाट एवर वी नीड विल कम टू अस। एक ऐसा सत्य है जिसको मेरी प्रेयर है कि आप सब एक दिन रियलाइज करो। जो योगी होता है उसको ये प्रयास नहीं करना पड़ता है कि मुझे ये चाहिए वो चाहिए ये डिजायर, उसको जो जो चीज की जरूरत है, जरूरत की बात हो रही है, वो एबंडेंस में आता है। योग क्षेम वहां में हम, उसकी देखभाल भगवान करते हैं, क्योंकि भगवान की शक्ति उसके अंदर कार्य करती है। और एक दिन चूंकि भगवान धीरे धीरे उसकी प्रकृति को बदल रहे हैं, तो भगवान तो मरते नहीं है, तो एक दिन मनुष्य का शरीर भी भगवान की ही तरह अमर हो जाएगा और कोई रोग नहीं रहेगा, प्रकाशवान होगा। तो यह है न्यू क्रिएशन और यह है सौंदर्य नई सृष्टि का। भगवान के जितने गुण हैं हार्मोनियसली उनके अंदर, भगवान में एक गुण नहीं है, सारे गुण हैं एक साथ और वो पूरे हार्मनी के साथ है। मनुष्य के अंदर एक गुण बड़ी मुश्किल से डेवलप होता है, काइंडनेस डेवलप करता है तो जस्टिस नहीं होती है, लव डेवलप करता है तो स्ट्रेंथ कहीं कमजोर हो जाती है। लेकिन व्हेन ह्यूमैनिटी डेवलप्स ऑल द ब्यूटिफुल डिवाइन क्वालिटीज एंड लीड्स हिज लाइफ एज एन एक्सप्रेशन ऑफ दिस डिवाइन क्वालिटीज, व्हेन हिज माइंड एंड हार्ट एंड लाइफ एंड बॉडी दे बिगिन टू मैनिफेस्ट दिस डिविनिटी विच इज ऑलवेज देयर इन मैन बट नॉट मैनिफेस्टेड, then we will say that it will be a new creation and it will be beautiful. Why? Because it will be a beauty which does not degenerate. All other forms of beauty, outer beauty, after some time it begins to show up. So people try outer means, but you cannot, because that is unfortunately physical body is unable to keep that beauty. Some people do keep, they age very beautifully, but still. Similarly, inner beauty, you will see that as people grow old, kabhi kabhi bade chidchide ho jate hain, irritated ho jate hain. Even inner qualities, memory, intelligence, ye sab cheeze thodi thodi degenerate karti hain, hona nahi chahiye. Whereas, agar divine beauty hamare jeevan mein prakat hogi, to wo ek aisi beauty hai jo kabhi डीजेनरेट नहीं करती है। सो द ब्यूटी ऑफ द न्यू क्रिएशन इज एन अनफेडिंग ब्यूटी, इट विल बी लाइक ए फ्लावर विच नेवर फेड्स। इसीलिए आप देखो अभी हम लोग क्या करते हैं, जब फूल भगवान को चढ़ाया जाता है कहते हैं ताजा फूल चढ़ाना चाहिए। अब भगवान को जब चढ़ा दिया जाता है वो फूल, फिर वो प्रसाद रूप में मिलता है, तो हम यह क्या कहते हैं कि ये मुरझा गया है? नहीं, अब वो भगवान से टच हो गया है तो वो प्रसाद है। उसी प्रकार से जब हम लोग अपने आप को भगवान को ऑफर करते हैं तो फिर उनका सौंदर्य हमारे जीवन में उतरने लगता है। देन ऑटोमेटिकली ऑल दैट वी ड्रीम्ड विच वी स्टार्टेड विद अवर ड्रीम ऑफ एन आइडियल वर्ल्ड, व्हाट इज एन आइडियल वर्ल्ड, इट शुड बी ऑब्वियसली फुल ऑफ पीस, जॉय, ब्यूटी, हार्मनी, fearlessness. There should be no fear in an ideal world, no fear for anybody from anyone, no suffering, no evil, and many positive things: peace, joy, true knowledge, strength, love at every level, courage. All these things should be automatically there. Right now we dream. Many people say it is an impossible dream, so they say that become practical. In the name of practical, they only encourage the Ravanatva in us. But there are some people who say no, if it is a dream, it is a dream worth living for. If you ask me, it is the only dream worth living for. And if you want to live for this dream, that yes, life should be beautiful, it must be beautiful, and if you add the faith that it will be beautiful, because there is divine who is present in this creation, then you will grow into the beauty of the future. For the rest, there is life as it is. You can accept it, you can fight, struggle, and all the rest. So this is the in brief that I had to say. We'll take questions, but I want to ask one question. You want a beautiful world and a beautiful life of this kind? You don't have to answer with a verbally or raising your hand. You have to answer it in your heart. If you want it, you are in the new creation. And if you don't want it, well, that's a choice we can always make. Okay, children? So, namaste. And we can have questions. Please feel free to ask anything about anything.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. I'll begin with one question that we had from the students in the morning. The students had been holding flower, and as they shared their aspiration as to what they want to grow into, they were sharing that they want to grow as a flower and basically embody the qualities of a flower. But one question came in, which was that physical has a certain kind of a memory. Historically, it wants a need to rest. Mind has a certain tendency to enter into thoughts. So when we look at transforming these different parts of our being, are we suppressing those parts, or what is the right way to look at this transformation of parts of our...
Okay, thank you so much. First of all, I must say, this flower analogy is very nice and good. We spoke about the flower and ended with a flower. Okay, we come to the flower and the suppression. First of all, suppression. Whenever you express something, you suppress something else. So what do? When we express anger, what are we suppressing? We are suppressing peace. When we express fear, we are suppressing courage. And when we express the Ravan in us, you see, I am taking one term so that we understand, then we are suppressing the Rama in us. Now, when we express Ram, surely we are suppressing Ravan. Now, we have to make a choice what we want to express and what we want to suppress. That's number one. Second is, because Ram is more permanent, the divine is more permanent, then if we keep expressing the beautiful things inside us, then over a period of time, the dark things, the ugly things like anger, fear, they vanish because they are not permanent. But if we suppress the divine inside over a period of time, we end up struggling very badly because fear, anger, greed, they are by their nature temporary. But the permanent divine is continuing to exercise pressure from inside. So if we express in the name of freedom, truth, whatever, honesty, whatever comes to us, then what we are doing, we will end up in a very severe struggle with passage of time. But if we express the beauty within us and we suppress all that is dark and ugly, over a period of time, you will see that the dark things vanish. I can take a very physical analogy. We have light and dark both within us. If we express darkness, you cannot slay light. Light is the original thing. But you will stifle light, like the black hole. But you express light, darkness will vanish. Okay? So that's the answer. But we have to make that choice.
Yes. I have a question. Because you say something, we must suppress darkness and express light. When we talk of darkness, we talk of our negative emotions and thoughts. Isn't there a need to actually consciously transform them rather than suppress them?
Yes, so that's how modern psychology works. It speaks about catharsis, and then it speaks about slowly creating a change. It's a very long process. But Indian thought always encouraged that bring out the best in you. And Mother put it very beautifully. Even in Raj Yoga and Buddhism, this is how the practice goes. And the mother says that, my child, I always look upwards towards beauty, towards light, towards truth. So if we bring out these things, all these elements will slowly get transformed. Yes, we have to transform, but not by... And we have to acknowledge it, of course, that there is darkness. We don't have to put a veil over that, no, I have nothing. But at the same time, some people think that by transforming them means first we bring them out. What it would mean in practice is that if I have greed inside, let me indulge my greed And then one day I'll become conscious and transform it. That is a very dangerous line to take. If I have lust and fear inside, it's like natural, and I must live by this natural thing till and keep working upon it while indulging in it. It will land up in a kind of a paradoxical situation where on one side we are saying yes and the other side says no. Whereas on the other hand, if we keep bringing out all that is good, beautiful, true, gather its strength, you will see that automatically these things will begin to get transformed. So by suppression, I mean that instead of forming in our karma these grooves of habit, form contrary habits. That's the Rajyogic way. It is called a substitution. Buddhists also practice it. And in Shobindo's yoga also, the mother recommends, except that she adds something else also. She says that when you acknowledge that there are things which are dark inside, wrong movements, offer them to the Divine Mother. But she also says, you don't need to express them. Offer them. Offer them is very different. So, Shri Krishna also says, so he says, in fact, there is the Asuric nature and the Devi Sampada. And he says, you must develop the Devi Sampada. And don't go into the path of the Asuric nature. So, expression as a path to transformation, which Western psychology says, no. Occasional catharsis may happen. That's part of life. But here suppression means not suppression in the sense that I'll hold, sit tight on these impulses and do nothing. It means instead of these impulses, I'll try to bring into my nature contrary impulses. For instance, my first impulse may be anger, because why things are the way are? One may get irritated. Why at this point of time somebody has disturbed me? I'm having a pain. I'm having this reaction. Now, instead of flowing with that, that's why there is Vivek and Buddhi. My Buddhi must tell me that this is not how your life should be, because you have a great goal. So what I'll do, I'll suppress this anger and irritation. Let's say as a doctor, I get very irritated because somebody has come at a point of time when I don't want. Now, I can express irritation or I can suppress the irritation and instead act more kindly. It may not always be possible, but that is the route I must take. That should be clear that, well, instead of irritation, I must express kindness and benevolence. Now, when I do it, it will begin to emerge more and more, radiate around, and ultimately all irritation and anger will vanish. That's the whole idea.
You should actually give the children time to ask questions, but I really need to clarify this
further. Yes, please. We are all children, we are all in kindergarten. Let me correct the first statement of Palak. We are all in kindergarten of mother. Yes.
Yeah. So, we are talking of our negativities, anger, jealousy, whatever. So, you said that when you said the word suppress, you meant that you offer it to God for being able to transform it. Meanwhile, we find the opposite of it within us.
Yes. Replace. Yes.
Replace that with the higher, the opposite of that quality, and consciously do that.
Yes.
And dheere, ye jo darkness hai, ye apne aap
chali jayegi. Bilkul. In fact, maane use kiya hai word. Replace ambition with pursuit of excellence. Replace fear with courage. Aise unhone 10-11 cheezon ka naam diya hai. Replace, you know, for example, miserliness or cruelty with kindness. Consciously practice it. Replace jealousy with generosity and wideness. Somebody is trying to find the list for me and I would read out whenever it's found. So replace. So she has used the word replace. And it's a practice which requires the practice of consciousness. We can do it only consciously. Otherwise, mechanically, we will continue to react. And we'll then offer it. Now, offering is fine, but we should also make some effort. For instance, kisi ke liye hamare man mein unkind thought aa rahe hain. To humko consciously kindness lani hai. Hum kaise laayenge? Hum vichar vivek se la sakte hain ki bhai wo insaan bhi to bandha hai apne nature se. Ya hum ye thought la sakte hain ki uske andar jo bhi chal raha hai, mere andar mujhe apne jeevan ko agar sundar banana hai to mujhe kind hona chahiye. या हम ये भी कह सकते हैं कि मनुष्य को मैं नोबल जीवन जीना चाहता हूं, और इस तरह का थॉट ये तो घृणित है. बहुत तरीके हैं रिप्लेस करने के. तो वो कारण जब हमारा हमारी बुद्धि जागृत होती, इसीलिए पहली चीज जो प्रैक्टिस करनी चाहिए वो है बुद्धि की जागृति, द डिसर्निंग इंटेलेक्ट. दैट्स वाई इन द गीता वी सी द योगा ऑफ द इंटेलिजेंट विल. दैट्स वॉट इज देयर. सो दिस इज द वे, रिप्लेस, ऑफर, एंड विद दिस विल सी इट ट्रांसफॉर्म्ड.
So my name is Kartik Singh. I'm from class 9th Nurse Surgeon.
Hi Kartik.
Hi sir. So my question is that we previously have Krishnatva, we have Ramatva, and what's the need of having that bad qualities, that influences? Why we have them also?
Yes, yes. Very good question. So these, we use the word bad and good. Please sit. So we use the word bad and good, but actually if you understand how things develop, then it becomes very clear. For example, when evolution takes place, it's, you have to understand it only on the basis of evolution. Otherwise, we say bad qualities have been put in some people good qualities. But if you understand evolution, then it becomes very easy. For example, what came first? Plant or animal life? Plant life, right? What came first? Animals or humans? Animals, right? So now what happens is that many of these tendencies which are natural in an animal, they are automatically carried on in a human being. Okay, because they have come first. And the task of human being, how does a human being become human? When he conquers these animal tendencies, he evolves into a human. And man has a natural within him also this urge to conquer it. That's how nature has programmed us. And similarly, there is something beyond man. So, man comes and then there is something yet to come. Krishna, Rama, and we take to, you know, finally Sri Aurobindo. So, how do we go? By conquering our humanness by the divine something which is yet to come or which is beginning to operate more and more. That's how we conquer. I'll give you a simpler example. But get rid of this idea of bad and good. You know, now you are using very high-tech mobiles with Windows, computers are very high. But those who were trained into the old way, how much difficult it is for them to learn the new way. See, when parents, they handle mobile, or grandparent, they find it very difficult. Because the old method, there by habit, they were used to the old method. So what we call as bad or evil today was something which was necessary at one point of time, because man could not have come out of cave and started running the computers. There are steps and stages. It's like from kindergarten, you can't straight away jump to PhD. There are steps and stages. So there is a tendency to cling to the past method. I can give you another example in your education. Now in kindergarten or second class, third class, 10th class, up to 10th class, you have teachers, right, who take class and teach. Now when you go and do PhD or masters, the need of teacher will become much less. You have to teach yourself. Why? Because you have reached that point. So similarly, what we call as bad qualities today, if we don't use the term, after all, what are bad qualities? Anger, fear, you know, all these things which make us behave like an animal. They are things which are there from our past, like animals, reptiles. So if you place your feet on a snake, the snake bites. It doesn't give any consideration that, oh, somebody will die, somebody will be, you know, hurt by all this. Because for an animal, that's the stage of evolution. So that's why even today, when people behave through a knee-jerk reaction, get angry. So what do we say? We say, are, saap jaisa hai. Kyon kehte hain aisa? Kyunki wo animal ki jo tendency hai, wo us manushya ke andar bahut adhik hai. Aur wo किस कारण से आई? पास्ट के कारण से आई. और वो क्यों पास्ट से आई? क्योंकि पास्ट में उसकी जरूरत थी. अब आपको अगर ओलंपिक में देखो, हमारी जो कंपटीशन की टेंडेंसी है, लोग ओलंपिक जाते हैं तो वो चेंज हो जाती है, रेसलिंग होती है, कॉम्पिटिशन होती है, लेकिन उसका प्रारंभ कैसे था, लोग स्ट्रीट पर लड़ रहे हैं, एक दूसरे को मार रहे हैं, पीट रहे हैं। तो उसी प्रकार से हर टेंडेंसी जब स्टार्ट होती है नेचर में तो वो उसके डार्केस्ट सीड, जो उसका सीड होता है ना, डार्केस्ट सीड क्या होता है, स्ट्रीट फाइट हो रही है, आपने आप लड़े, मतलब आप लड़ना नहीं पर स्ट्रीट फाइट से स्टार्ट हो रही है, एक दूसरे को मार रहे हैं बिना कारण के, मारपीट कर रहे हैं। अब ये डेवलप करते करते कहाँ तक जा सकती है, ओलंपिक रेसलिंग में जा सकती है, जहाँ आपको अंदर में घृणा नहीं है, क्रोध नहीं है, पर आप लड़ रहे हो, लेकिन उसमें आप हरा रहे हो और आप जीत रहे हो, लेकिन जीतने के बाद ये नहीं कि अरे तू तो मेरे से नीचा हो गया, ये नहीं कर रहे हो आप। तो उसी प्रकार से नेचर स्टार्ट करती है सीड स्टेट से, जैसे एक बीज होता है उसको पहले डार्कनेस में डेवलप होता है, अगर बीज को आप सीधा सनलाइट में डाल दोगे तो क्या होगा, वो जल जाएगा। तो हम सबकी ग्रोथ दो स्टेज में होती है, अगेन बच्चा वूम्ब के अंदर डेवलप होता है, डार्कनेस के अंदर डेवलप होता है, हाँ फिर धीरे धीरे जब वो सफिशियंटली डेवलप हो जाता है तो वो आता है बाहर, फिर उसमें भी धीरे धीरे उसकी आंखें अभ्यस्त होती हैं, उसके हाथ पांव कैपेबल होते हैं। तो उसी प्रकार से बिकॉज ऑफ द इवोल्यूशनरी नेचर ऑफ लाइफ, ऑल लाइफ वी स्टार्ट विथ थिंग्स इन ए डार्क स्टेट और ए सीड स्टेट और एन एम्ब्रियोनिक स्टेट, वट एवर वे यू वॉन्ट टू पुट इट। आई प्रेफर द वर्ड एम्ब्रियोनिक, बैड एंड गुड इज, वेन डू वी यूज द वर्ड बैड एंड गुड, वेन वी हैव रीच दैट पॉइंट वेयर द बेटर थिंग मस्ट कम, देन वी स्टार्ट यूजिंग द वर्ड दिस इज बैड। बट इफ यू सी केयरफुली बिफोर द टाइम हैज कम फॉर इवोल्यूशन, दैट पर्सन विल से नो एंगर इज नेचुरल टू मी, ही इज कंफर्टेबल विद दैट, ओके। बट फॉर सम पीपल बिकॉज दे हैव टू गो फर्दर, then automatically nature, we are programmed like that. So nature has beautifully programmed us, we begin to think, oh this is bad, this must not be there, this is better and we must be better. So that way life keeps moving forward, further and further. All right? So we need not bring the idea of bad and good as if both have been filled in a bag, suddenly some god arbitrarily filled some people with bad, some people with good. Some are more evolved, some are little behind, but everybody is on the path of evolution, and the more we early we recognize is, the better it is. So when you are in 10th standard, another example, when you are a child of 2, sometimes you may hit your mom and dad and say, mummy aap bahut kharab ho, you are a useless mom, right? Children may say that. Now if you do it at 20, if somebody pushes the mom and says things, it is considered as reprehensible, isn't it? At 20, we don't expect somebody to be that cruel with parents. But when a child does it, we don't use the word cruel. We say he is being playful because he is not conscious enough. So when you look at the depth of things, we see that earthly life is a field of progress, and this progress takes place primarily through evolution of consciousness. Outwardly, it looks like it has progressed by this means, that means, one becomes more intelligent, one goes through classes, but the real thing happening inside is that things grow more and more conscious. Consciousness develops. Like an animal is less conscious than a human being. And therefore the animal is what he is. So if a tiger jumps upon a deer, you don't say he is doing a sin. That's his nature. But if a human being does it, stealthily approaches and snatches somebody's thing, then you say it is not right. Why? Because consciousness is developed. And it will develop more and more and more. And that's where we can say that ultimately, if you were to project the graph, you will say ultimately we will develop into the full divine consciousness, because that is what is at the seed. Jo beej hoga, wahi vriksh hoga. Hum logon ke andar divine ka beej hai. Okay? So divine का बीज है, जब वो निकलता है तो पहले वो रावणत्व के रूप में डेवलप होता है, फिर वो और डेवलप होता है तो फिर वो रामत्व आता है। लाइक अ सीड ऑफ ए रोज डज नॉट स्ट्रेट अवे डेवलप इन टू ए रोज, इट गोज थ्रू स्टेजेस। इवन दिस इज ए स्टेज व्हेन कांटे होते हैं और एक बड होती है, तो कांटे भी एक पर्पस उस समय सर्व करते हैं, ओके okay? क्योंकि लोग वो जानवर खा जाएगा, उसके बाद उसमें रोज खिलता है। तो what we call as evil and bad is a stage of evolution which we have to cross. Some have crossed it, some are crossing it, some are not yet ready to cross it. That's all. So what we call as bad or evil is nothing but a previous stage of evolution. That's all we have to, that's how we have to look at it.
Yeah, we have Nandini who has a follow-up question.
Yes, please.
Good evening, sir.
Yes, good evening.
There are Asuri and Daivi Sampada within. So, sir, I'm able to see Asuri Sampada in me. Then, what to do?
Yes, that... Yes, yes, very, very simple answer. See, of course you must have heard about this story. It's an allegory that there are two wolves in us. I don't like the wolf story, of course. So I would rather say there is a wolf in us and there is a lion in us. Or, there is a deer in us. I like the image of lion. Lions are good guys, huh? Unless you threaten them. So whichever we feed, that is going to grow stronger. So we have Asuri Sampada, everybody has. And if you keep pointing to that, and if others keep pointing towards it, then that will grow. Why? Because you are giving too much attention. Remember one principle of life. Whatever you give attention, that is going to grow. If you give attention to pain, pain will grow. If you keep saying, I am a bad person, you will end up doing it. You know, that's what is called as negative role playing. That's why nowadays parents and teachers are advised by psychologists that don't keep pointing to the mistakes. Rather bring out, let's say if you have the Asuri Sampada or anybody has of anger, then what is the antidote? The Devi Sampada, which is equivalent, it is to be charitable, to be kind, to be peaceful. So cultivate peace, kindness, a charitable disposition, then automatically you will see that the anger will come down. One may not have it now, but it can be developed. How it can be developed? In practice, when supposing we have to react, we are reacting with anger, step back just for that moment. And if you have yet reacted, then look within later on and say, yes, I shouldn't have it. I could have been more charitable. I could have been more generous. So step back. And next time you will see, you will be more conscious. Maybe just before you are expressing, something will stop you. Third time you will see that instead of anger, your kindness came out. So that's by practice, by abhyas, the Devi Sampada will grow automatically. And of course, as I said, and the divine help is there. You can pray to God in whatever way you believe in. That I don't want this fellow inside me. I want all the good Daivi qualities which Krishna you have enumerated in the Gita. I want them. You can ask him. People don't ask him this only. They ask 101 things. He would be very happy. Just ask him. See, that is the difference. Sudama is a friend and Arjun is a friend. What does Sudama ask? House, money, he gets it. But what does Arjun want? He says, just be my friend. Guide me. Make sure I don't take the wrong path. So, we have to form that relation with God where we ask him that I want to develop these good things and you see he will develop in us. And from our side, every time we get the impulse to act in a way which we feel is not worthy of my being a human, then we should check that impulse and try to bring in the opposite thought. With practice, you will succeed. And the divine help is there to help all of us. All of us have gone through this. All of us, if you ask. I can tell you about myself, I'm sure everybody. All of us start our career as an asura. And we finish as a deva if we take that course. Of course, we have a choice to remain forever asura. That's a different thing altogether. Okay? Yeah.
So, my question is that, sir, you talked about the ideal, that what do we have to be? And you have talked about our current situation. So, sir, how do we bridge the gap between them?
Yes, so that's what I said. The word is aspiration. You will be the man you want to be. Remember this. There are two great powers given to us, or rather three. One is will. Will is a great power. Even if your nature is full of everything negative, keep your will awake that no, I want to be otherwise. Will. Second power is faith. If we don't have faith that we can change, we will never change. Okay, so faith that I can change. And there can be a logical basis to this faith that all who have gone before me and have changed themselves say so. And the third is the idea. Whatever we keep thinking, that we tend to become. So we'll say, how do we have this will and this faith and idea? Read books which are going to bring into us this kind of will and idea and faith. That's why reading the Gita, the Ramayana, the Mahabharata is one point of time. Ramayana and Mahabharata were part of our household. Why? Because automatically they brought in this will, idea and faith. When you read Ramayana, you say, oh wow, I should be rather like Ram. If you read Mahabharata, you say, oh, I should be like Arjun. Krishna may seem too much, but at least Arjun jaisa to bani sakte hain. To ye bahut zaruri hai ki hamare samne ek living ideal aur living example ho. To living ideal, living example hona bahut kathin hota hai. Isliye ye kahaniyan hai hamare jeevan mein, hamare itne sare history mein isme, jisse hum apne jeevan ko ek adarsh ko samne rakh ke apne aap ko change kar sake. To un adarshon ke कहानियां पढ़िए. समटाइम्स रीडिंग द स्टोरीज ऑफ दोज हैव गॉन बिफोर अस, ऑफ द ग्रेट वंस, बहुत हेल्प करता है. क्योंकि हम उनकी कंपनी में चले जाते हैं. जब हम रामायण पढ़ते हैं तो हम राम जी की कंपनी में होते हैं, रावण की भी कंपनी में होते हैं, पर राम की भी कंपनी में. तो वो जब हम बाय द टाइम वी फिनिश इट, ऑटोमेटिकली हमारे मन में, हमारे हार्ट में, हमारे अंदर एक नया आइडियल डेवलप होने लगता है. फिर हमारे अंदर ये आता है, इफ ही कैन बी लाइक दैट, वाई कांट आई बी. ऑटोमेटिकली ये आ जाता है. To be in the company of those who are beautiful, who are good, who have grown, through this. If you find such a human being, don't leave. If you find such a human being. If you don't find, then of course, the Ramayana, the Mahabharata, they are books and many others which automatically inspire us to be like that. Okay, that's how we will bridge the gap. But most importantly, never accept that this is how I am born, I will be like this forever. This is the worst scenario. Yes, child.
Good evening, sir. I'm Arna Shivastav from class 8E.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask if you could reflect more upon the qualities and ideas of a superhuman.
Superhuman, okay, qualities of a superhuman. I will tell you one right away. He will be very compassionate. This I'll tell you right away, okay? Because he will understand things are, why they are. So he'll be very compassionate, very kind, very benevolent, ready to forgive, ready to, very generous hearted. Very forgiving of people's defects, their, darknesses. So he'll be compassionate, kind, benevolent, generous. He will be disinterested when it comes to taking decisions. He will not take decisions based on mera kya fayda hoga. He will not be selfish. He will take the decision based on what is the right thing to do. Jisko hamare India mein bada sundar shabd hai, dharma. Right is not about moral right and wrong. You put things in a column. Jo sahi hoga, uchit hoga, vah karega. Isle nahi ki agar main aisa karun to mera fayda hoga. Isse main dosti karun to mera isse benefit hoga. Ye cheez uske liye impossible hogi. Superhuman will never be able to be selfish. Okay? Teesri cheez kya hogi? Uske knowledge ka strot alag hoga. Right now, how do we gain knowledge? Only by outer things. Now, he will also be in contact with outer world, but there will be something else like a light which will open within him and it will fall upon the outer information and reveal to him things which are hidden by the outer information. For instance, usko koi vyakti murkh bana raha hai, to usko pata chal jayega ki ye to meri praise kar raha hai kis liye. To kehte na chane ke jhaad par chadha raha hai. लेकिन ये नहीं कि वो हर किसी को ऐसा समझेगा, वो देखेगा, वो बाहरी दिखावे के पीछे का सत्य देख पाएगा. और इसी कारण एक चीज जो वो कभी नहीं करेगा वो है हिपोक्रेसी. सुपर ह्यूमन कोई आपको इंप्रेस करने की चेष्टा नहीं करेगा, देखो मैं कितना साधु बाबा हूं, बाहर के कपड़े पहन के अपनी प्रशंसा का गुणगान कराना, क्योंकि वो जानता है वो क्या है। कौन कराता है अपना गुणगान महिमा मंडन बाहर बाहर से, जो नहीं जानता कि वो कौन है, जो जानता है कि वो दिव्य है। कभी भी भगवान, कभी देखा है कि वो जाके अपनी प्रशंसा अपने मुंह से कर रहे हैं? रावण राम का युद्ध होता है, रावण बोलता है ये सब तुम नहीं जानते मुझे, तुम नहीं जानते मुझे, ये क्या हो क्या? राम जी क्या कहते हैं? अच्छा हो गया, अब हम बाण बाण खेलें जिसके लिए हम आए हैं। तू बोलते ही रहेगा, सेम यू सी। सो दिव्यता की ये पहचान होती कि उसमें अति विनम्रता होती है। जितना दिव्य होता है व्यक्ति, माँ श्री अरविंद की लाइफ तो एक लिविंग एग्जाम्पल है, वो विनम्र होता है। सच्चा ज्ञान जिसके पास होता है वो बहुत विनम्र होता है। क्यों? क्योंकि वो जानता है ये ज्ञान उसका है ही नहीं। जो कहता है मैं बड़ा ज्ञानी हूं, वो ये समझ रहा है कि मैं ज्ञानी हूं। लेकिन सच्चा ज्ञान कब आता है? जब मैं हट जाता है तो केवल ज्ञानी रह जाता है। तो वो देखता है कि ज्ञानी केवल एक है, वो है ईश्वर। और चूंकि वो उस स्रोत से रिसीव कर रहा है ना सारा ज्ञान शक्ति, तो बहुत विनम्र होता है। जितने भी ट्रूली ग्रेट हुए हैं वो बहुत विनम्र हुए हैं। तो सुपर ह्यूमन की एक और क्वालिटी क्या होगी? विनम्रता। एक बड़ी इंटरेस्टिंग क्वालिटी होगी सिंसेरिटी, जिसका बहुत अभाव है। सिंसेरिटी मतलब चीजें जैसी हैं उनको वैसे देखना, प्रोजेक्ट करना, ट्राइंग टू शो ऑफ, ये नहीं रहेगा उसके अंदर। वो चीजें जैसी है वैसी देख पाएगा। और एक जो बहुत सुंदर चीज होगी, भय का अभाव। किसी चीज से वो डरेगा नहीं, मृत्यु से, रोग से। क्यों? क्योंकि सुपर ह्यूमन जानता है कि मृत्यु एक बाहरी दृष्टि दोष है। इनफैक्ट आई विल टेल यू व्हाट ए सुपर ह्यूमन विल थिंक अबाउट डेथ। इफ यू आस्क ए सुपर ह्यूमन बीइंग व्हाट इज डेथ, ही विल से यू नो इनफैक्ट देयर इज नो डेथ। आपको अजीब लगेगा, ये क्या बोल रहा है, ये तो शाश्वत सत्य है। तो क्या कहेगा? मृत्यु सत्य नहीं है, राम नाम सत्य है। वो इस चीज को जानता है कि मृत्यु कुछ नहीं होती। और फिर क्या होगा उसके अंदर? प्रेम होगा। कैसा प्रेम? हम बोले प्रेम तो हम सबके अंदर है, वो वाला प्रेम नहीं जो कंपार्टमेंटलाइज्ड प्रेम है। प्रेम की जो पहली चीज होती है, तुम मुझे प्यार करो तो मैं थोड़ा प्यार तुमको दूंगा। बल्कि राक्षस का प्रेम तो बस तुम प्यार करो, मेरा कुछ देने का नहीं है। फिर आता है एक प्रेम जहां कहते तुम प्यार करते हो तो मैं प्यार करूंगा। फिर उसके आगे प्रेम होता है जब मैं प्यार कर रहा हूं लेकिन तुम भी मुझे प्यार करो। लेकिन जो सुपर ह्यूमन का प्रेम होगा वो वैसे होगा जैसे पुष्प अपनी सुगंध को सबको देता है। वो ये नहीं कहता है कि ये मुझे प्यार करता है इसको मैं प्रेम दूंगा। उसके लिए प्रेम उसकी श्वास में बसा होगा, उसके हृदय की धड़कन में बसा होगा। तो हिज लव विल बी अनकंडीशनल, नॉट बेस्ड ऑन एनीथिंग दैट द पर्सन इज रिसीविंग और नॉट रिसीविंग। ही विल हैव दैट काइंड ऑफ वास्ट यूनिवर्सल लव, यानी कि केवल कुछ लोगों के लिए। He will have wideness in his heart. बहुत wide और generous heart रहेगा सुपर ह्यूमन का। ऐसा नहीं कि अरे ये तो मेरी लैंग्वेज नहीं बोलता है, ये तो पराया है, ये तो मेरी जाति का नहीं है, ये पराया है। वो सबको अपना मानेगा, सबके साथ उसका मैत्री करुणा बंधुत्व का भाव रहेगा। ऐसा प्रेम होगा, उसके प्रेम में मधुरता रहेगी। और फिर अंदर शांत और आनंदित रहेगा। वो डिप्रेशन में नहीं जाएगा, अरे चीजें वैसी हुई नहीं जैसा मैं चाहता था। वो जानता है कि चीजें वैसी नहीं होती जैसी हम चाहते हैं, चीजें वैसी होती हैं जैसी प्रभु चाहते हैं। तो चूंकि वो प्रभु की इच्छा के अधीन रहेगा इसलिए वो डिप्रेस नहीं रहेगा। और शांति क्यों रहेगी? क्योंकि उसके अंदर डिजायर नहीं होगा, मुझे ये चाहिए वो चाहिए, ये हो जाए तो अच्छा है, गर्मी कम हो जाए, धूप बढ़ जाए, क्या क्या पता नहीं हम लोग सारे दिन, ये कपड़ा आ जाए, वो पोजीशन मिल जाए, ये सब नहीं रहेगा उसके अंदर। तो पूरा शांत रहेगा वो, क्योंकि वो ईगो से नहीं भगवान की विल से ड्रिवेन होगा, इसलिए वो झगड़ा नहीं करेगा। हाँ अगर कोई उसको झगड़े के लिए, युद्ध के लिए ललकारेगा तो वो निर्भीक होकर युद्ध करेगा। धर्म के लिए जहां वो देखेगा कि अधर्म हो रहा है वहां वो युद्ध करेगा। पर्सनल कोई युद्ध नहीं होगा उसका कि मैं, उसने मेरे साथ ऐसा किया था मैं बदला लूंगा। ये सब भावनाएं बदले की, घृणा और क्या क्या होता है मनुष्यों में, क्रोध, ये सब खत्म हो जाएगा। क्योंकि वो, लेकिन वो युद्ध लड़ सकता है जहां वो देखेगा कि अधर्म हो रहा है और यहां भगवान की इच्छा के विरोध में ऐसी शक्तियां खड़ी हैं, तो वो युद्ध भी लड़ेगा। निर्भीक होकर युद्ध लड़ेगा, शौर्य होगा, शक्ति होगी, और क्या क्या क्वालिटीज, सौंदर्य होगा, सौंदर्य बोध होगा, वो चीजों के अंदर, वो कुब्जा के अंदर, कुब्जा की कहानी पता नहीं तुम लोगों ने सुनी है कि नहीं, वो कुब्जा के अंदर वो सुंदर देवी को देख पाएगा, अहिल्या रूपी पाषाण के अंदर वो एक देवी को देख पाएगा, उसके निगाह में कोई गिरा हुआ नहीं होगा, सबको वो उठाएगा, ये नहीं कि कुछ को एम्ब्रेस कर रहा है, उठा रहा है, बाकी को अरे ये तो गिरे हुए लोग हैं, छोटे लोग हैं, सबको उठाएगा, सबके लिए उसके अंदर करुणा का भाव होगा, और भी बहुत कुछ जो आने वाले समय में प्रकट होगा। आर यू सेटिस्फाइड? ये होगा सुपर ह्यूमन।
वंदे मातरम सर, आई एम सोनाक्षी ऑफ क्लास 9th नफ्रिजन।
आपने वंदे मातरम कहा बच्चे?
यस सर।
थैंक यू, वंदे मातरम। यस, हाँ बोलो।
सो सर, यू सेड दैट देयर इज अ रावण इनसाइड ऑल ऑफ अस। सो सर, डिड लॉर्ड राम कॉन्कर द रावण इनसाइड हिमसेल्फ बट एंड इफ नॉट व्हेन डिड ही डू इट?
ही कॉन्कर्ड द रावण इनसाइड हिम बट नॉट फॉर ऑल ऑफ अस। सो that is a task, he has opened the door and shown us the way, he conquered the Ravan inside us himself, that is why he could kill the Ravan outside, and therefore he showed the way that well we too can conquer the Ravan inside us, and only when we conquer the Ravan inside us that we can be ready for the greater war of conquering the Ravan outside. So that path has been shown, it is there, it may not come in popular Ramayana, but the real Ramayana, if you read through, he was instructed by sage Vasishth. So there is a whole treatise which is like a dialogue between Rama and his mentor Vasishth. So at the age of 15-16, Rama asks Vasishth, why should I even be a king? How should I be? And he is given that wisdom, the nature of this world, how one can master oneself. And Rama practices those things. That's how he becomes, by the time he comes to the kingdom, he is already a yogi. Because he has learned from his mentor, and learning is not enough, he puts it into practice. Whereas Ravan, he learned from his mentor, but never practiced it. His mentor was Lord Shiva. But he was egoistic. So it is there, but you don't see all that in the serials, though it is there in the original Ramayana, in Valmiki Ramayana it's there. And there's a whole portion of dialogues between Vasishtha and Rama. It's all about dharma. So that's how you will see Mahabharata also, where there are different angles from which what is dharma is taught. If you read through the Mahabharata and Ramayana, more so Mahabharata, you will understand all kinds of dharma, because all the characters face certain dilemmas where they have to make choices. And in Indian civilization, the important thing was base it on dharma. So when the characters followed the path of dharma, they developed what they developed into. And when they followed the other path, they degenerated into much worse beings. So yes, he conquered the Ravan within him. But obviously he didn't conquer in everybody, because if that was the case, we all would be beautiful beings. But for that, something much greater than Rama and Krishna even was needed. And that's what Sri Aurobindo brings.
Yes,
sir. Yes.
Thank you.
Bande
Mataram, sir.
Bande Mataram.
I'm Anya Pandey from 7D. Sir, I have two questions if you don't mind.
Yes.
The first question, as you said in the start of the session, you said that you stated the characteristics of an ideal human being. Sir, could you tell us some ways that we could implement those characteristics in ourselves?
Yes.
We could transform ourselves into the ideal human
being. Yes, very good. Thank you. So first is, read about these characters. It's there in Indian books. Read about those who have been truly examples of the ideals. That's why I feel Ramayana and Mahabharata should be, I'm sorry to use a word, compulsory. not because of any religion, but because they teach us what is an ideal human being. It doesn't matter what religion we follow. So Ramayana and Mahabharata are books which are meant to help human beings grow into ideal. That's one. Second, find those who are of something of this nature is reflected in them. Very rare. Find them. If you want to find, you will find. Okay? And when you find, hold on. Okay? Third, if you don't find, think about this idea. Live it in your dreams. Let it be your dream that this is what I want to be. Tell yourself that I don't want to be just this kind of what everybody is. I want to be someone truly beautiful, noble, refined. So if you think, then you will one day become. Fourth, in all your actions and activities, try little bit to live that ideal. Or move toward that ideal. For example, when you take up arts, it should be a means to refine the nature, refine the sensations. That's what art is meant for. Music, there is a music which uplifts us, there is a music which degenerates us. Make a choice for the music that uplifts us. Similarly, about sports, it helps to tame certain animal parts in us by disciplining them. So any little activity which helps us to move even one inch toward that ideal should be welcome. Read as many diverse books as possible because it will make your mind wide and supple. And a wide and supple mind is more ready to hold the ideal than a mind which is narrow and dogmatic. Question. Don't just accept things on belief. Question. And don't give up till you find the right answers. Okay, so these are some of the ways. Meditate upon the ideal that you want to be, what you want to be, and by these means, and above all, most important, God's grace. So never forget to pray. That we pray for 101 useless things. You can pray for them, nothing wrong with that. You can pray that mere ko exam mein pass hona hai. But also pray that main jeevan ke exam mein pass ho. और केवल पास नहीं हो, फ्लाइंग कलर से जिंदगी की परीक्षा में उत्तीर्ण हो, ओके? सो प्रे एंड गॉड विल हेल्प यू।
सर, माय सेकंड क्वेश्चन, इन लाइक द मिडल ऑफ द सेशन, यू सेड दैट इन द अर्लियर डेज, पीपल वर फियरफुल, इन द अर्लियर डेज एंड स्टिल नाउ सम पीपल वर फियरफुल ऑफ द गॉड, व्हाई दैट? वी नो दैट ही इज कंपैशनेट, ही इज लविंग,
यस,
व्हाई डिड फियर हिम?
Because when in a primitive stage of man's development, he is automatically feels frightened with enormous power. It's a primitive stage. Like animals, they're very afraid of human beings. You know, they're very afraid. Even a tiger is afraid. Unless you do chada chada, he will not jump. So in a primitive stage of evolution, man's relation with God is one of fear. He prays to God to help him, but himself is afraid of God. But some people remain at that stage. Some religions remain at that stage. But as certain religions evolve, like Sanatana Dharma has evolved over a period of time, you change that relation from one of fear to that of love. So it is simply a question of evolution of mankind and of the religion itself. But yes, there are human beings who are afraid of God. They see him in their own image because they don't know God. That is another answer. Because we love to punish people. So we think God also is busy punishing people. We love to condemn people. So we think God is also busy condemning people. Because we want to win people by fear and favor, we think God is also happy with fear and favor. So that's ignorance. Because they don't know what God is. Therefore they have constructed their own image of God. Okay? But as human beings know God, then they realize that He is all love and compassionate.
Vande Mataram, sir.
Vande Mataram. Yes.
My name is Shira from class 6, sir.
Yes.
And so my question is that why do people, like many of them employ all these embryonic qualities which we should not, like mentor like you are telling us and and still some of them are not using them in our day-to-day life, and not only us. If there is any other child, so if the teachers are not telling, their parents might be. So why are they becoming different versions, like not applying is a good activity?
Yes, my child, you answered the question. You said embryonic stage. So they are less developed. But for that reason, we should not condemn them. We should feel compassionate. They are less developed. You can't expect. So though there are children who may be, what's your age? Maybe around 10 or something?
11.
Quite close. So there are children who are at 11, but they have wisdom like you. They are very wise. They are inside very developed. You see, that's why in India, in Sanatana Dharma, we have the concept of rebirth. What does rebirth mean? There is souls in us which keeps coming, and in each life it grows. It grows more and more. So there are souls which have taken more number of births, and therefore they are developed souls. Even in the body of a 5-year-old, there may be a developed soul. But there are souls which have taken birth just 3-4 times. So even at the age of 100, they are very crude. They are, you know, all that you said, because they are not evolved souls. So there are souls which are evolved, and I am so happy that all of you are in that category. But there are souls which are not evolved. So they will evolve, and we have to help them rather than condemn them, because everybody is not at the same state of evolution. All right? Though everybody looks human, looks the same. Okay?
Thank you, sir.
And for them, you can pray. When you find such people, you can pray for them that may God give sadbuddhi in their heart also.
Sir, I think that every child will be conscious in the future coming years.
Yes, wonderful. I am so happy. Wonderful.
Vande Mataram, sir.
Vande Mataram.
A very good evening to you, sir. I am Shrijita Banerjee of class 8F. And I would like to ask this question, which is there a way to balance all the emotions in our life? For example, you said because of anger, our peace is suppressed. So, is there a way to balance all the emotions?
Balance, no. It's not balance, but change, which is required. So, you can't balance. Balancing anger and peace would mean that we are... Balancing anger and peace would mean that we are having a cat and a dog together in the same house. They will fight. And they will cancel each other. Okay? Of course, some cats and dogs do well. Maybe I should give the example of a snake and a mongoose, or a cat and a rat. So we can't balance. We have to change one into other. So anger has to be channelized and changed into strength. Anger is a sign of weakness. So anger is a sign that our vital is very weak. People who are angry are basically very weak. So they get easily frustrated. And because they get frustrated, they get angry. But you have to change it into peace and wideness and strength. So when you channelize anger through sports particularly, you will grow strong but not angry. So don't try to balance anger and peace, but develop, change anger into strength. And if you grow strong, you won't have to be angry. Whatever challenge you meet, you will face it with strength and courage. Okay? Vande Mataram.
Sir, my name is Adi Mishra from 6E.
Right. Yes, Adi. Tell me. I can hear you. You are audible.
Okay, sir.
Yes.
So, sir, my question is, why did God come to the level of a man to help him?
Yes, very good question. Because that is why he came to become at a level so that we can become God. Imagine if he was sitting there and said, you know, become like me. We will not even know what he is. So God becomes human so that human can become God. See, how do you train a dog? You have to understand a dog's language. You have to start with where the dog is. Then you can slowly train him. Same thing applies with us in our everyday life. If you have to teach a child, you have to come up to the level of a child. Then only child will understand. Otherwise, if supposing in this talk I gave you Vedantic philosophy, today we are going to talk about Dvaita, Advaita and Visishta Dvaita, about Sankhya, then all of you would be sleeping by now. Isn't it? So same way we have to, God becomes human so that human beings can become like him. He gives us the example of the life we have to lead. And that's something very beautiful. And it is again one of the unique things about Sanatana Dharma, that we accept the doctrine of avatarhood. Avatarhood is God becoming human, and because God becomes human, human beings can take that as example. Oh, somebody like us could walk the way with all the difficulties and challenges. All right? Yes.
Vande Mataram, sir.
Vande Mataram.
I'm Aarti Kashyap, class 12.
Yes.
Question is regarding conditioning. Sir, you mentioned that since 1950s, people are being conditioned to follow a particular way to survive in their lives. So rather than using knowledge or the power of consciousness, so how to control ourselves for not being influenced by those conditionings? And what to do?
Okay.
What we should do in these types of conditioning?
Okay. So first, a little correction. From 1950s, human beings are in search of, you know, who they are, what should be the right. They are in search of something within them. But before 1950, if you see, people were the scientific industrial revolution where they were trying to change things by outside. But from 1950s, at least a certain number of human beings, they are understanding that unless you change yourself, in 1960 in the United Nations, the Secretary General said this, Youth Hunt, that unless you change us humans, nothing will change. You will change systems, governments, but nothing will change. So this idea, this recognition has started since 1950s, or more specifically 60s. Okay, 56 is the date I mentioned. And the date has a significance of the new creation. So from that time, we see that the winds of change are blowing. So man is aspiring for, unity. He is aspiring for peace. He is aspiring for a greater basis for brotherhood. All this effort. But yes, not everybody will change immediately. First, there will be few human beings. But slowly, slowly, this is growing. So we have two kinds of humanity right now. One humanity which believes in the future of mankind, which is evolving towards embodying the beautiful things. And all of you, I am happy, belong to that genre, and of course all of us. On the other hand, there are human beings who are still holding on to the past way. Now one thing I can tell you, because this is not our doing, but something deeper which is conducting it. All those who want to remain stuck in the past way, they are going to eventually drop out of the race. This I can tell you, that because nature will encourage and facilitate those who are more fit for the evolution next. So that's why you see, instead of a competitive individualism, we are now developing this corporate social, even there we are bringing this word. Corporate social responsibility, because we are beginning to understand that our own existence depends upon everybody's existence and growth. So in different ways this understanding is coming, and more human beings are turning in that direction. But a large mass still, I agree, belongs to that old way of thinking, old school of thought. It is collapsing, it will collapse, it will disappear like many species have disappeared if it refuses to change. Still 100, 200 years, the winds of change will blow. After that, whatever is not ready, nature will find its way. Like dinosaurs, like mammoth, all these vanished, no? So same way. Rakshasa has vanished today. So something very similar will happen. So let's not worry about them. Let's put ourselves on the side of the future. And nature and God will take care of the rest.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Vande Mataram.
Sir, my name is Neelgriva Singh and I'm from 7D.
Okay.
So my question is that why is unity is so difficult to find nowadays?
It never has been there, by the way. Because we were stuck with, the selfish, egoistic mohalla mentality. Okay? We could never think beyond the family. So always it has been difficult. It's not new. But the difference is that yes, at least at a village level, to an extent, people could feel that unity. but only in a very limited way. Even in the house, there was fighting going on. But there was at least outwardly a semblance. But now there is a need for unity. Unity is the most difficult part, because see, unity can be created by uniformity. That's not the unity that divine wants. He wants unity with diversity. That is the difficult part. So people have tried to create unity by blurring out everything, uniformity. But that's not the true unity. So now is the age when this most challenging aspect, unity and diversity, is being worked out. It is still a long way, this project. But at least the beginning is made, because more and more there are children, family, people who are looking beyond their limited family interest. And they are living for a larger purpose. More and more people are there. And that's the sign that it will happen. It will take time. It's the last ultimate crown. Unity in diversity. But it was much worse. Yeah.
Sir, I had a question, sir. You were again and again mentioning about 1956.
Yes.
What is so special about that date? And why are we terming this era as an era of spiritual revolution?
Yes.
Because we see even the climate change and the other catastrophes which we are facing shows us that we are in a really bad state these days.
Okay. So 1956, of course, I didn't mention for a reason, but since you asked me, 1956 is the day when Sri Aurobindo and the mother brought to earth a new consciousness. We are talking of new creation, so a new consciousness. Its equivalent is that in the animal mind, suddenly the human consciousness begins to operate. So if you want an easy language, then the operating system of creation has been changed. Now that is a question of faith or a question of long discussion. I have given a talk on this, so I'll right now not get into that. But as to the spiritual evolution, in fact, if you go back to the pre-1950 era, there was a lot of superstition, dogmatic religionism, ritualism, but very little spirituality. There were some spiritual figures and there were some followers. But the kind of spiritual inclination that we are seeing today, like as I said, your classroom is an example, your school is an example. And I know number of schools that are developing these things. At this age, it was something which was impossible, unheard, unseen, unthought of. So there is definitely a great spiritual thirst, and the number of spiritual movements that have come up in the last 50 years is just unbelievable. In fact, there are so many disciples of so many gurus, because it's not about whether guru is good or bad, I'm not saying that. But there is a thirst. People want to know more. They want to go beyond the human limit. They want to exceed the human formula. They want another way of life. Like, you know, there was that famous song, "We want no education," and equally, "Imagine a world without boundaries." Okay, all this, how did it come in? How did people like John Lennon, even in the Western context, they suddenly get so much of likes, if we were to put it in today's language? Precisely because they echoed the angst of the age. Okay, so all this is happening. Climate change, that's a very, very big debate. Okay. I would suggest read all about it to realize how far it is true even. I know it's a very, very touchy topic. At the same time, even if it is true and there is global warming, okay, we must understand that nature has her ways of using what seems to us an impossible wall as a passage. And I'll give only one example. As example I'm giving as a kind of situation. Imagine when trees were growing upon earth. Probably a time would have come when they would have felt, oh my God, carbon dioxide is reducing. Okay, because trees take carbon dioxide. What was nature's solution? Nature's solution was, out of the tree evolved animals which breathe oxygen and release carbon dioxide. So global warming, etc., is presuming that man will remain forever the same. But all these, including the ultraviolet rays, is a huge subject. So I'm not entering into it. I've given talks on all this. You'll find it. So all these things which are happening are pushing the human body and mind to go beyond the frontiers of the human limits. And it is this which will one day precipitate even a physical transformation. people are coming together for the good of earth. They are realizing that no, we should be joined together, otherwise we may end up destroying earth. So all this nature is using, and as you rightly said, in the last 75 years or maybe little less, because a new consciousness is operating upon earth. It is this which is changing human beings, making us aware what damage we have done to the planet. That's why today we also say not only global warming, but also we have no plastic movements. In our own India, suddenly we have the cleanliness drive. Why we are doing all this? Because there is a new consciousness which is operating upon earth, which is changing us from inside without our knowing it. All right? That new consciousness, which Sri Aurobindo termed as the supramental consciousness, that started becoming active on 29th February 1956. That's why the change is coming up, and it'll go on for a few centuries. Okay, so shall we call it a day, and you can always send me questions on WhatsApp. Most welcome.
Just one more question.
Okay, yes, one last question. Yes. Yeah,
so, I mean, is there something that happened in 1956 because of which we are saying that it began in 1956? Because if we look at other revolutions, it's always we've got some proof. We've seen that a revolution started. Something was initiated. So is there something that happened in 1956?
You mean apart from the supramental manifestation? Because that is a huge subject. That is something which the mother and Sri Aurobindo have said, that a new consciousness began operative. But I can tell you something which happened in 1957, soon thereafter, and 60s, as a sign, as you said, the proof. So 57, or around that time, 55 or 57, you must have heard about the Cuban crisis. We were push button away from nuclear destruction of the world, and something stopped us. Since then, we are having wars. Not that mankind has got rid of war. We reach a brink and we come back. Something is there which is preventing a mass scale. At the same time, we see many movements which are coming up, which are people are joining hands together to make this world a better place. This also happening at a larger scale. People are thinking of at world level. Before 1950, mohalla, as I said, mohalla mentality, my village, my caste, my little kingdom of family was the ultimate that people, even nation was a difficult cry. Hardly anybody thought about a nation. Okay, during independence movement, there was a different reason altogether. But slowly we have begun to at least think like a nation. Then from the nation we can go to the world. We can't suddenly leap from the family to the world. We have to go through the stage of nationalism. So all these things are happening. 60s onwards, the word yoga has become a common household term. Meditation has become a in thing. In psychology, we learn that, well, meditation can help us get rid of illnesses. So there are many things which are happening today. Yoga, International Yoga Day has come up, which are a sign, geopolitical shifts. I could go on and go on. That's a whole subject. I have covered it in some of the talks, which indicate that in many ways, after 60 onward, the world is no more the same. And of course, there are certain old things which are there, continuing, resisting. But certain new things have come which were not there earlier. There are things of the old which are continuing. But there are new things which are emerging which were not there earlier, and that is the sign of the new creation. It's still 70 years old, new creation. When first human beings came into existence, they had to go through 9 intermediary species. From the Cro-Magnon man till the modern Homo sapiens erectus. So we have to go through a few 100 years, but the change has started and the first signs are already emerging.
So we can perceive those now, but was it some kind of an appearance of a certain kind of consciousness into...
Yes, this is the change of consciousness which has taken place. The fact that today children, you can ask the question, before 1950, even I would say 70s, you see, for instance in Air Force, smoking and drinking was the in thing. It was cool. Now you have non-smoking zones where a smoker is to be there. As an Air Force officer, I had a problem if I didn't smoke, but I was regarded as an odd man out. Now the smoker is an odd man out. Vegetarianism has come in a big way. A woman can raise questions, which is so good. We know about our parents, don't we? I know about my parents, grandparents. A woman could not imagine sitting together and, you know, asking questions. It was a near impossibility.
So, Anupta, I think the question, maybe we can end with this.
Yes.
I think the question is more around tangibly on that day, on 29th February 1956. What is it that happened?
So, tangibly, tangible, it will not be that everybody will see on that day. But at least there were at least five people who inwardly perceived something different. The tangible is always the last thing. I'll give you an example. When a seed is sown inside a soil, is there anything tangible on the surface? Nothing. Who knows that there will be a tree out here? Only the farmer who has sown the seed. Isn't it true? When a baby is cast into the womb of a human mother, doesn't it take a few weeks before even the mother becomes aware that something is amiss and possibly I am having a child? So same way, when you talk about new creation, even to expect that on that day something marvelous, and it is not a miraculous process. Miracles are only superimpositions. Miracles are not true things in that sense. Miracles don't endure. Miracle can at one moment work. Like if I am sick, a miracle can cure me. But it doesn't make me free of all possibility of illness in the future. So it's not a miraculous thing. It's a creation. Creation is a process. So on that day, seed was sown. We can use the word. And that seed, just like in the time of Krishna, I'll give another example. There were only five people who recognized even that Krishna is an avatar. And today, there have been many Krishna movements in the name of Krishna. If you ask somebody during Krishna's time, that is there anything tangible, people would have said horrible things Krishna did. That's what Gandhari said. Mahabharat kara diya, bachcho ko maar diya, sab kuch maar diya. But what is Sanjay's vision? Sanjay says, much after all this controversy is gone, there will be only two things which mankind will remember and will nourish its heart. One is the vision of Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the Vishwarup, and the second is the Gita. Would anyone have even imagined that all these warriors, the destruction of it, Atharakshoni Sena, the depression through which people went through, all this will be remembered or forgotten? But Krishna, Gita continues to be not only alive but growing. So all creation is like that. It starts with a seed. And yes, we can wait for the tangible signs to come, but that will be sometimes too late because we have not participated in it. But we can have the joy of participating. During the time of Krishna, during the time of Rama, there were few who understood what they stood for and participated. And they evolved. So that is there today, that something has happened. Intangibly tangible. Tangible in terms of changes happening all over the world. Intangible because we don't see with the naked eye something very, very obvious on that particular day. Maybe people saw, but they may not have even documented. We don't know. At least five people experienced something unusual. There may have been many more, which we don't know. They never documented. For instance, somebody may have seen suddenly the downpour of a golden rain. That's how the poet Bendre in Karnataka, he saw it. He suddenly saw from his roof, a very, you know, well-known poet. I've been to his house. Suddenly, as if there was a golden rain downpouring. He was surprised that what is this? Later on, he came to know that on that particular day, the mother had spoken about the supramental manifestation. I'm just giving you one example out of many. Okay, so that kind of tangible means with the eyes and ears, that is a long time. It's like, as I said, the farmer sows the seed, he knows. And we can trust the farmer or we can wait for the tree to grow. But if we trust the farmer, we can participate in the process. That's the difference.
My Santini's sister was much, much younger at that time. Maybe 6, 7 or 8. Even she, on that particular day, experienced a golden light.
Yes, so that's why I'm saying ki I'm not discussing that, because that will again go into the realm of the intangible. Because there were some people who experienced it, which is fine. So that's why I even did not say all that is enough to know that 1960 onwards, in fact, the world understands that the world is changing from 60 onwards. Every sphere, I could it will take me hours to narrate. In the field of science, in the field of art, in the field of music, culture, everything, the world is no more the same. Medicine, and that's a whole subject, maybe some other time we can have, on the new creation, how it is unfolding. Yeah. Okay. Bande Mataram, Jai Maa.